Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week we are so stoked to bring on both the host and the creator of Nuggets Only 2 at Toy du Jour by Dan O'Brown. This is going to be an insane show curated by Dan O'Brown, hosted by Toy du Jour, and they are bringing together some of the best artists to create some of the best nugget art that you will be able to find. This is the best nugget show out there. Not to mention the only nugget show out there. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. You can jump on all social media at Toys on Tap. And if you want to take a dip into the Patreon and support the show even more, you get episodes of the Nitty Gritty, you get the video interviews, you get all kinds of stuff for just $3 a month on the Patreon, patreon.com/toysontap. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. Well, frick, it's been so long since both of you have been on, so welcome back to both of you. Before we get started on this Nugget show, which I can't wait to hear all about the artists that have been chosen for this. Please introduce yourselves and tell us why you're here.
I'll go first, I guess. I'm Dano. I'm an artist from the desert in California, and I'm friends with Sam from Chicago, and he put me on board with his Nugget Show idea. I'll let him introduce himself.
Oh, yeah, it was all my idea. I just had to find a pawn for the show. So. I'm Sam. I own Toy du Jour in Chicago. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, and we do various art shows like this throughout the year.
Heck yeah. I'm always pumped to see the art shows that come through because they're like real fun themes and all that stuff going. And so not only seeing, but then being a part of the first Nugget show was intense. Like, and the amount of stuff that goes into it with like working with local vendors or having stuff brought in. So for both of you, I mean, we'll start with you, Sam. What is it about shows that have these types of themes that makes you at Toy du Jour want to host them?
I mean, it's that really fun part where you get to like just come up with the show idea. You know, I've been in various companies and businesses where like there's a lot of like blue sky, you know, just like let's come up with crazy ideas. And that's the fun part, you know, like just all of a sudden you're thinking like, why the hell haven't we done a Garfield show, you know? And then just like, who would be great for a Garfield show? And just going through and picking stuff like that. And were both of you in the Garfield show? Or Abraham, you were,
right? Yeah, I was.
No? Yeah, right. I was not.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Screw that. Why don't both of you try to remember what shows at Toy du Jour you were in?
I've been in a few.
Yeah, that's a tougher one.
You know what I like about Toy du Jour? I'm not trying to kiss ass over here, but I think typically all of us artists seem to gravitate a little bit towards the weird, you know, towards the strange. And I think that's what draws people to us as artists. But I think Toy du Jour is one of those businesses that sees that and understands it and is willing to like kind of risk their own business reputation to make a show about chicken nuggets or something. There's a lot of places that might think, oh, that would be cool, but wouldn't really want to do it at their actual place of business. But I feel like it really it works for them and it makes sense for them, and I'm glad that Sam and Liz can see that.
Yeah, that was the thing. I remember going there for the Furby show, and I mean, you guys knock it out of the park with like how welcoming you guys are and how homey that place feels. But also on the night of, to have like weird ass Furby cookies that I didn't even plan for. And I was like, hell yeah, this is why we're here. It made me want to like take all the art down and put the cookies up because they were so fun. But yeah, I think Toy du Jour just offers that. It's like an indescribable thing when you walk in, it feels different, which I like.
I mean, it's definitely trial and error, you know, and there's been some error, and that's just going to happen in situations like that. But like, if you don't try, like, why wouldn't you want to try any of these ideas, you know?
Well, and it's easy for you to say, but you have an artist mind. You have that type of mind, but I think a lot of people would not want to. I mean, you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, how many people I tell locally about this Nugget Show idea, and they just are completely like, I don't understand. That's not, and even people that follow my Instagram and have seen the success of the last show, you know, people from my real life around here are still like struggling to understand, like, why do people like this? Like, why are people, you're going to do it again? I'm like, yeah, it worked last time. We're doing it again. Yeah.
That's a really good reason to do it again. Like, it worked that time. Let's do it. So tell me about Nugget Show One. I remember being a part of it, and it was a fun experience, and being able to see the lists of artists that came through, and then see your work, Dano, and all that stuff. So tell me how that first one came to be.
Well, I think originally it kind of started that I did a show with Toy du Jour just as an artist, and then I started offering up some unsolicited advice on how I wish that the show would have been run. And then Sam was super receptive to it and super cool about it, and which I felt kind of weird, but I felt like we're friends. And I felt like, dude, I want this show to be as successful as possible. Like, mine sold, but I feel like more could sell, you know? And so I just started kind of being annoying. And then he came back with, well, why don't you try? You know, why don't you, in a much more friendly way, but more like, you think you could do better, why don't you try it? And to be honest, I was immediately like, super confident. I was like, oh, dude, I'm the perfect guy, and I'm gonna show them, you know. And then I started realizing, like, the really quick, the work that goes into it. And then the actual show happened, and I realized all the other work that goes into it that I wasn't even part of at all, you know. I'm just handling emails and DMs and stuff. But essentially, I think the origin story in my mind is, I had done some shows with Toy du Jour. It was one of my favorite places to do shows, but I felt like I had some advice to offer, and then Sam said, well, you know, prove it, you know, show me how to do it, you know, or show me how you would do it. And then we did it together, and I believe that was one of the most successful shows Toy du Jour had. I know it was the most people I've ever seen in a group show.
It was insane to then also see the line out the door.
Yeah, that was humbling. That was surreal.
That, I think that was cool to see that. And then I think it was the first show that, like, I mean, it's no secret. I don't love online shows, because I don't know how to, like, really do it well. And so that was the first show that I was a part of that was like, wait, I got to send you my piece. Like, we got to do this. Like, let's rock it. And so it was cool just to see, like, pictures of it up and where it's all mapped out. And Sam, I think you guys do so well with that, like, it's not the typical gallery space. Instead, it's a shrine to the art, which is my favorite.
A good way to put it, man. That is what it's like. And it's in the middle of the coolest fucking toy store you've ever been in. So, like, even if you're not into the art, you know, that's what I would go, even if I wasn't an artist, you know, I would go to the show just to check out everything else around there. They have so much shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, going back to what Dan said about the, like, the impetus of the show itself, I think the idea, like, kind of started brewing after your Burger King nugget for the Fakin' It show.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that one.
Yeah. That, for me, that's the one that started it all off. And I really like that one of my close friends owns it, you know, so, like, I can visit it if I
that's want cool. to.
Yeah. But yeah, just, I, you know, and you and I have talked about this, like, trying not to, like, make you the nugget guy. But at the time, like, when this idea for the first show came up, you had done a few Nugget pieces.
Yeah, I was, like, in my Nugget era, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, some of the pieces you were doing were, like, fantastic. Like, I mean, what was the little Nug guy?
The McDaddy? The Leather Daddy?
No.
The weed one, right?
Yeah. Oh, the weed one. That was the first one, yeah. The first one I did.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was so good. And I feel like that's for most things, but, like, the idea was out there, just, like, we finally realized that it was yelling at us. Like,
yeah, I agree. It almost seemed so obvious once you pitched it. I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then every time when I make a post about it, I always try to say, like, it's one of the most popular Nugget shows out there, even though I know it's the only one. You know? Right. But it does seem totally believable that there's multiple of these things going on, because apparently a lot of people are nostalgic about chicken nuggets. So
what's interesting about this show is that it puts the artists to task, because it really is, like, just this one piece. yeah, the faces are different and the connections are different, but there, you have so many different artists coming in, and I've yet to see one that's been repeated. I've yet to see one that I was like bummed about. And so you're really putting people to task, like take this thing and make it something good. And
yeah, that's such a great template, you know?
Yeah. And it meets that middle ground. And I think that both of you would know that, like, there's that middle ground where if a show has too many parameters, you immediately kill creativity. But if it has none, you do the same the opposite way.
Yeah. And well said. I totally agree with I think that's like total freedom for a show can be too overwhelming. But those parameters, I've done some shows with people I really like or whatever, but where you end up seeing kind of a lot of repeats because they give such a specific theme that it's like, okay, well, like how many people are really famous? And I'm like trying not to say any names or anything, but you know, they'll give a theme that's so niche that of course three people end up making the same character or whatever. I feel like this is, like you said, it's such a simple canvas, such a simple little thing to start with that it leaves you wide open, but it's not fully wide open because it still needs to be nugget related. I think it's just one of those almost like lucky finds or just something so obvious that wasn't really being, not that we were the first people to ever make art out of chicken nuggets at all, but yeah, I need to always clarify that because I do get that kind of, I either get people like praising me for being the originator or people like shitting on me being like, you really think you started this? I'm like, no, dude, neither. I don't think that. And I didn't, I'm sorry. But yeah, some people definitely think that I was at the forefront of it, but I'm not.
No, you know what?
It's a long-standing tradition of chicken nugget art before I came.
We're calling you the Nugget Daddy. That's what it is. I think, too, what's cool about these shows, especially the Nugget Show, I mean, I've only been doing this kind of toy art for a little bit and then the podcast for 3 years. And so you come across a lot of shows that are open invite, or if you just send a message, you get in the show. But it felt like the Nugget Show, and correct me if I'm wrong, was like very selective. You chose the artists you chose, and some got in and some didn't, and that was okay. And then round two, I mean, you're curating another show specific to what you want to see. And there's something that's, I mean, not for everyone, but for a lot of us, like that's really enjoyable because it's chaotic when there's a show that's like 200-300 people. And oh my gosh, like, yeah. how do you like keeping track of the 40 for the Furby show? I wanted to blow my brains out.
It's a lot, dude.
And
it's
so tell me about this, like kind of selection process or kind of figuring out how you want to curate when you do this.
Well, there is a method to the madness.
Okay.
I mean, I actually did put a lot of thought into it. And I will say that Sam and Liz also pitched in a couple artists that I had never even known about before that have shown me their pieces that are perfect fits. They're just great. So I can't take all the credit on that either. But what I go for is I try to make sure that I get some of my friends in there that I know will appreciate it. I try to have, I don't want to say I have an age limit, but I do feel like there's a certain year where the nostalgia starts and some of the younger artists don't really feel it. I do have a young guy in this time that I really like. I love his style, but I realized as he was showing his piece, like, oh, he probably did not even grow up with any of this stuff, but it turned out great. So I do kind of try to think about whether they're going to be excited by it, because not everyone is. And then I want variety. Like, obviously I mostly know toy guys like myself, so it'd be really easy to just have a roster of just all toy guys, but I really wanted, you know, the last time we had Crafty is Cool, who does like crochet, or I don't know if that's technically crochet, but you know, she makes like stuffed animals. We have people doing painting, people doing drawings, people doing all kinds. I want it to be more of a variety in that sense. And then for round two, I started off, I wanted it to be all new, because I was like, I definitely know enough people, I can have an all new roster, you know. And I started doing that, and then I realized, oh, this is turning into an all toy show. Like, so I had to like dial back some of the toy guys, and then try to get some new people in, and take a few of my people that I wanted to repeat. I had to be like, okay, they're for next time, and hopefully there will be a next time, and I can bring more repeats back and bring more new people in. Now it's weird how many people that I don't know are like expected to be invited. And I'm like, I don't know who you are, dude. I'm sorry. I'm checking you out now. And there's a girl who did these incredible, like Halloween nuggets, like horror nuggets. And so many people keep sending it to me. Like they've gone kind of viral or whatever. So many people are sending it to me and being like, why isn't she in this? I'm like, 'cause I don't know the girl. I've never seen her until now. You know, I follow her now, but we already got the roster going.
I think as a side to that, if people, especially like whoever that girl is, she already created the horror nuggets and this show as well, as like, you want to see what they're going to create for this show.
True.
And I think people forget that. They forget that there's someone in charge and they're like, oh, like, how am I not in it? Well, it's like, what? Cause you didn't, I don't know, but like you're not. So there it is.
I've been on that side of things too, dude. I've seen Toy du Jour and Earth Kentucky. I've seen all my favorite shops put together shows that I felt like I would have been a good fit for, but I didn't get the invite. And I'm like, what the heck? Why am I? Until I started putting one together, I didn't really understand, like, and you, I'm sure you learned it from the Furby show too. Like, it's just not possible to please everyone unless you want to have a 200 person show.
Yeah. And what's cool, Sam, like you nail it down so perfectly, when like curating that space, you were like, listen, we have this much room, like try for this many artists, which, I think the podcast kind of puts me at a disadvantage because all I encounter are toy artists and toy art people. And so it's like, I got to choose 40 out of that. Like, what am I going to do? Just start throwing darts and hope to hit a name. But yeah, so you've kind of got the science nailed down. Do you think that like, as time has progressed and all these shows have gone out, you kind of can nail down like what fits, what doesn't, how we're going to do this and all that?
Yeah. Yeah. And the space changed, you know, like 4 years ago now, because our old location, we started doing the art shows then, and it was a little more modular where we had two-ish spaces like the one we have now, but those two spaces equaled less than the area we use now. Mm. And we didn't always use both spaces. So like if the art was kind of light or we just didn't have enough people turn stuff in, we would just use the main section, but sometimes we'd spill over to the other section. So in the last, you know, 7 years, I feel like we've kind of, you know, we know what will fit, we know what'll work. There was once that we went way over, like the Nugget show went over a bit, because we spilled some over onto the counter, but, we were able to, after the show ended, we were able to like figure out how things would fit up there. After I think maybe a couple things sold and they got to go home right away, so we were able to move stuff up there. But the show that we over kind of promised on was the only show that we ever did that was like an official show, which was the Voltron one.
Mm.
And we had like way too many people contacting us for it, and like it was after we had our like our roster of artists that we wanted to work with and people we knew, and then like all these people kind of piled on and we were like, okay. And we overpromised and we ended up renting out the space next door to us as well, just to use for the gallery opening. It was kind of, yeah. I mean, this second Nugget show, I was looking at, maybe three doors down from the shop now. I was like, there's a rental space. Like, do we need it for something? Like just like a white, it's called the White Room, but, and so it's just like a blank rental space. I'm like, should we just put like one piece in there?
And the exclusive one.
This empty space.
I think, and you have all your shows, you go above and beyond. For the Voltron one, they figured out how to make a pizza in different colors, which is unreal. The blue, I think we talked about this before, like how they got blue is unreal.
Yeah.
And then,
like potatoes that were dyed or something. I don't even remember now. Yeah.
And then for the last Nugget show, I think it was vegan nuggets that came in
Yeah. Vegan nuggets. We had the actual McNuggets.
There we go.
This time we're going to repeat that. We have, we nailed down our sponsor for the nuggets, which is our friends down at Logan Arcade that own Fry Like an Eagle. They're going to be frying up vegan nuggets for us. We will have non-vegan nuggets, but they're not going to come from McDonald's this time. So We're doing nuggets. There's going to be nuggets for people to eat for sure.
That's the way to do it. So Dano, tell me about this new nugget show. I mean, you did one, it was successful, knocked it out of the park. And like, I didn't have a bad thing to say about any piece. Like I try not to in general, but like,
yeah,
but that show was so good. And then just seeing like the excitement, cause I think, you and your wife both were there, right? And taking pictures. Right. Yeah. So the excitement of like you being there and then seeing the line out the door, all kinds of stuff. So, tell me about the new one. What brought you into wanting to do a second one? And then what are the parameters of this second nugget show that you've added?
Well, when Sam brought me into the first one, I had no idea what to expect. Now I got a little better idea. I've been in the space. I know what it's going to look like. I also realize now how much more goes into it that I didn't realize before. But yeah, it was super exciting the first time. It was just me and my wife. We don't travel much. So just to get to go, you know, that's part of the deal. What I get out of this is a trip to Chicago, a place that I've always wanted to go. And so super excited. And then it was such a success. I mean, I don't think Sam and Liz and I said a single word to each other the whole night because we were all just slammed in our own ways. It was insane. It was insane. The night and day moment of it. It was like, oh, the show's about to start. And then next, you know, we were like in the middle of chaos for hours, you know? And I mean, I talked to all kinds of people. I probably couldn't tell you a conversation I had. It was one of those times where the next day I was like, I shouldn't have drank so much. I was like, oh shit, I didn't drink anything. You know, I was just out of it. I was just so on a natural high or whatever. So we didn't really get to talk till later. And then we all had dinner together, my wife and Sam and Liz, and we got to talk about it. And it was just, by any measure, we were like, that was a success. You know, that was a success. Every customer had fun. Every artist seemed to enjoy themselves. Every piece was stellar. And then obviously the financial aspect of it, we made money. So it was just like kind of a no-brainer, like we should get together again. And we left it pretty open, but we knew that we would be doing something together again, and it was most likely going to be nugget related. But we've all been very busy since then. And it's almost like Sam has a knack for knowing when my creative juices are gone. Cause I was like, man, I don't even feel like I'm an artist anymore. And he's like, hey, you want to put together a show? I'm like, perfect, dude. Cause now I get to be in the art world and I don't have to, you know, I'm still making art for the show too. But like, I wasn't doing anything like other than commission work, just like doing jobs like a regular laborer. I wasn't really doing much, you know? And then, so just like last time when you reached out with the idea, I was like, this is the best time. Like I have tons of time to reach out to everybody and talk to everybody. And
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 182. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsoring Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
And so, yeah, this time it went a lot smoother. I learned from my mistakes last time. DMs, I was a lot more clear with my opening DM than I was the first time because I didn't really understand that 30 plus people are all going to have 30 plus questions if you don't clear it up in the first one.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot more time on my phone for Nuggets only one than I did for this time because I think I just overall have a better understanding of what's required of me and what's required of my artists. And so it's going a lot smoother, but yeah, the parameters, we're still trying to keep it around 30. I think we got 34 on, and that's just a number we came up with last time. And I liked the way it worked out. We did have one artist, his name's escaping me right now, but he's super talented, but he made a giant print and took up a lot of space. It wasn't a big deal, but that's another like live and learn thing. So this time I told the artist like, hey, you know, it's a small space. Be mindful of how much room you're going to take or whatever. And I was able to reach out. Also, another thing I'll say is the success of the first show gave me the confidence And also, I believe just people who wouldn't otherwise have the confidence in the show to do a second one. Like, I was able to reach out to some artists this time that I probably wouldn't have last time, because being able to be like, hey, there's a site or a page, Nuggets Only Gallery, with all of our old work, including yours and Sam's and mine and everyone in the show. And I'm able to show them an example, like, hey, look at all this cool shit we did last time. And then I think it gets people more hyped, like, oh, yeah, okay, it's already succeeded once. It sounds a little less risky once you know it's already done a good show one time.
Yeah, I think that that's the best way to do an art show, is to show, like, this is the work. Like, just look at this and then go forward. Because there's still so much to be done, even though the Nuggets are the same shape. They haven't changed in years. Like, it's still such a good premise.
It's crazy the variety that comes out of just those little shapes. I mean, look at what you made. Look at what Junk Fed made, like, something more along my lines. What did he do? The Thing. He did like a Thing-related one. That's more like what I would do, is customize it to look like another character or whatever. But yeah, people did so much. Barbarian Rage made that invisible nugget, or the visible
the skeleton. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that shit blows minds. It's on my shelf right now. When people come over, they're always fucking picking that up first. So yeah, they're so simple, but people do so much weird shit with them.
And so, looking forward to the show, what are some hopes that you have? Because this will come out before the show happens, correct? It comes out on Monday, not this coming Monday, but next Monday. So when's the show?
The 27th.
Great. So you, like, what are some expectations that you have for this show? What are some, like, are you hoping that people come out swinging and just like, this is the best work I've ever created?
Well, Sam and I have both got to see quite a bit of the behind the scenes, and I can say, like, with confidence that nobody's going to be let down. Nobody's going to be like, oh man, they didn't bring it this time. Like, there's some shit coming out, and I've shared a lot of it in my stories, but I'm always like hesitant between, like, I don't want to share too much because I want people to be excited when they see it, but I want to share some because god dang, people are really turning up the heat on this one. My expectation is just for people to do their best, and the people that we got, I know that if they do their best, it's going to be killer. Everything I've seen so far is killer. And a party. I'm expecting a party, a good time.
Yeah. Are you flying out for it again?
Yep. This time I'm bringing my kids too. So it'll be all of us. It'll be my whole family of five. My wife, my three kids, and they're super excited. So I might not be smoking weed in the parking lot this time.
There's still room for error. Maybe.
No promises.
Yeah. Sam, as shows come and go, and prep in your shop, like, goes into full swing. Cause if I remember correctly, it's like, you sent me a date. It was like Tuesday of the week of the show. It's just hell week. That's when it begins. Cause you're just setting up.
Leading up to it. It's usually starting on the Tuesday is when I'm trying to finalize, make sure that I have everybody's stuff turned in. And for the most part, you know, most shows, everybody's stuff is turned in by the date that we give them. And then, you know, day before, usually, this time it's on a Saturday. Most of our shows on Friday nights. So Thursday is our setup. I'm still going to do setup on Thursday and just cover the entire show area again, like I usually do. That day for setup, like when we close and I pull everything down and start working, like setting that stuff up, like I almost prefer to be alone. Like, Liz will be there helping me, but I'm like, I have to, like, beautiful mind this right now. Like, I have to, like, sit here and, like, I have to be not afraid to, it's so weird. I have to be afraid not to make errors by putting things in the wrong spot and then sitting there and looking at it and going like, nope, start it all over, pull it down. Let's go again. You know? And then the day of, we always close for an hour. What we do now, we used to not, and that was a big mistake. So we'll close at the normal closing time, and we'll be closed for like an hour so we could do final setup and do snacks and stuff like that, and then open the doors again. That hour is probably the most crucial, like, honestly, like, just like making sure. And there's like a bit of stress, you know, on our end, so, you know, just waiting for the doors to open. But just getting in there, making sure things are cleaned up, moving some of the fixtures in the shop, especially for these larger shows where, and the Furby show, we had to do this too. Like, we moved the things that are kind of like in the middle of the floor, and we need that space, but that kind of sucks because we're taking product off of our floor just to make room for customers that aren't going to be able to buy that product. That's like now shoved in the back somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, the point where we have the most people in the shop, let's get rid of our product. Let's put it in the back. Yeah. But yeah, that hour leading up to it is probably the most hectic, you know? And it is helpful too, because like with these shows, when we have somebody, like when you were curating Furby, and Dan, when you're doing the Nugget stuff, it's good to have you guys there. Cause you know, if there's any like small things that I need to check with you, you know, that's great. You're standing right there. You know, I don't always get that.
Yeah. And it was cool to see the care that goes into it. There's, especially because you have I think it's hard to describe. What's fascinating and really cool about your shop is that, I mean, it's still a toy store. Like, you still have rent to pay. You still got like all that stuff, but for some reason you've chosen for like that week to push that aside and put the art show on. And that,
yeah,
means the world to see that. And then you do like little, it was like little pieces of care as the show's going. You're talking with everyone. And I remember standing outside and you came outside with a sticker on your finger and you were like, do you want to put this on your toy that just sold, or do you want me to? And it was like, oh my God. And so those are the little pieces of care that just show that, like, man, you care about this artist community and like the toy scene. So it's super valuable that you guys do what you do.
You know, I got something to add to that, if you don't mind. I had done a few shows, a good number of shows, group shows, and even a couple solo shows before the Nugget show. And in my mind beforehand, no offense, but I was thinking, like, when I'd be like, oh, it's at this gallery, I'd kind of be like, well, it's like a toy store, but they have like do art on the wall, like almost as if that was some sort of, not quite really a gallery. And then when I experienced it, it was so much cooler than any other gallery because it was a toy store. So I was kind of pitching it like, well, it's not really a gallery, it's just a toy store, but they put art up. When in reality, it's big, in my mind at least, to me, once I witnessed it, is its biggest pro. I mean, you could see people, I mean, how long are people really gonna stare at the chicken nuggets, you know? Like, it gives them other things to do. There's so much to look at Toy du Jour. And I'm not even counting the chicken nuggets, or we had tattoos last time, or the beer. I mean, we'll have beer again this time. There's such a cool factor of being in a toy store full of cool shit already. And then on top of that, there's an art show going on. That was something that really opened my eyes when I was there. I was like, oh wow, this is actually way better than my experiences that I had at like Galleries 88 or even IM 8-Bit. I love those people. But you go and you stare at the walls for a while and talk to a few people, and then you're like, well, we should probably get going. You know, like, it's way different when you're in Toy du Jour. I mean, I will say that I'm also a little biased because I'm a junk lover, and they got a lot of, you see all the junk behind.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I do forget about the tattoos. Like, that is an insane addition that happened.
That was all Salmon. That wasn't me, but I couldn't believe it.
That's so crazy that got added. It was like on top of whatever's at the show and the free beer and all that stuff. Like, also tattoos. Like, go see him.
We are working on something. It's not tattoos, but we are working on something that's a little special for people visiting. And I haven't even talked to Dan about this yet. Until I have confirmation on it, I'm just going to let it go. But hopefully it pans out, because it sounds really exciting.
That tattoo idea is just a perfect example of what I was saying, though, like about just thinking thinking so far outside the box. Even when Sam told me it, I was like, all right, that's going to be kind of embarrassing. We're like pitching that we got tattoos and then nobody fucking gets a tattoo, you know, but people got tattoos and it made for like cool stories, cool pictures. I mean, I have multiple pictures of people I don't know in my camera roll right now getting tattoos at my show, you know? So it's again, like just thinking, leaning into the weird. I don't think everyone's willing to do that. Even someone like myself who I consider myself weird. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, that's a little out there, tattoos, but God damn, it was cool, man. It was so cool.
Yeah. I think those little pieces, because you're right, like a gallery show, there's a gallery right down the street from the studio, and it is like, they do toy shows, but it's white walls and then a toy. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think you missed the point of the toy. Like, you missed it. You missed the fun. I do have to say, like, my favorite in being there and doing the show aspect, the favorite part was like going out to breakfast with you and your wife. And it was like, though the show was really cool and it was like a bucket list item, it was also really cool to wake up and go to breakfast and have breakfast with the people that let me do this stupid thing that I did. And it was awesome. So I'm excited to see that. I think another thing that always entices me about these shows, Dano, you knocked it out of the park with the design of the flyer again.
Thank you.
The first one was the receipt, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the receipt and the daddy nug.
Yeah, and so, like, this design background that you are, have fallen into and this toy that, world that you've fallen into, tell me the idea about or behind this kind of design and how to promote the show.
Well, that's like another thing that I really love about getting to do this. I mean, it's great reaching out to people, and it's a big stroke to my ego having all these artists that I like, you know, say yes or whatever, even though some say no, and that fucking sucks. But
don't you want to send a middle finger emoji? They're like, no, I can't. You're like,
You know what? Actually, I was super cool about it, but a couple people that I really loved just straight left me on red, and I'm like, here I am like a month later still talking about it on a podcast, so obviously I haven't got over it, but I thought that was a little
weird to see those names on the spreadsheet and be like, really, like, nothing.
Yeah I mean, some of the ones that left me hanging, we don't really have a relationship, but there was a couple I was like, oh wow, okay, whatever, unfollow. I'm gonna let it be. But anyways, I love the design part of it. Before toys or before any of you guys knew anything about me, I was a pretend designer. You know, I was somebody trying to make like Adventure Time shirts and send them to companies, like, and trying to make, like, you know, just any popular cartoon. I was trying to draw it and do mashups and all this corny stuff, just trying to anyone to buy any of my work. So when Sam puts me in charge of this kind of stuff, like, I don't have to sell my flyer. It's going to be the flyer. You know, like, I'm making what I want to make. When I make the greasy bag idea or the receipt idea or whatever, like, I'm proud of those ideas, but it's also just really nice. Although I do run it by Sam, but it's nice not having to sell my idea. It's cool. Like, that's one of my favorite parts of this whole thing is thinking of a video or thinking of ways to promote it or thinking of designs to do or drawings to draw. And I've done a couple things also that haven't panned out, where I was like, oh, I got this great idea for a promotion, and I'll start editing and realize it's out of my skill set. But even the failures are, sound like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but they're wins too. They're things that I wouldn't have tried anyways. I'm doing some art for the show this time. I feel like a lot more free to experiment with my own art because I'm more thinking of myself as the curator for this.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have an engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
But I'm doing some stuff this time that's way out of my comfort zone. And all of that, I feel like, is freedom that's allotted to me. Freedom that I'm allowed to have because I'm in charge in a sense. You know, and that, I love that. And thank you for the compliments on the design. You know, what's kind of weird is I worked so hard on the flyer, right? And I loved it. I'm happy with it. And I'm very rarely am I happy with my own work, but I was happy with it. I sent it. Sam was super cool about it or whatever. And I put it out there and people were excited about the show, but my fucking horrible ego is like, why isn't anyone saying anything about the flyer? You know? So when you said that right now, it's like, right, cool. Like, he liked the design.
I notice it. I notice it. I think for me, I have damage. It feels like damaging conversations with some toy artists because they'll make something and I'm like, oh my God, that backer is so cool. Or like the header card that looks amazing, and forget to mention that I like the toy too, but I really like the design aspect. And I think it like, and so that's it is good. It is good.
Thank you. I'm super happy you noticed. And obviously I'm a little sensitive about how many people didn't. So,
I think we're going to close this out, but we do two things to end it. One, you're going to plug everything, the show, both the shop and your work. And then we have a new thing we've added to the podcast called the Nitty Gritty that goes on the Patreon. And it's a specific question for each one. And yours, I think, jointly is going to be on like the importance of partnership, because I think that's what this really is. That like the toy world, yeah, it can be hectic and chaotic and we can come for each other's throats, but how good is it when that partnership like clicks in? So before we get there though, please plug the show, when we can see it online, if it hasn't sold, all that stuff.
Sam, I'll let you take that.
Yeah. And actually, I kind of want to add on to it with the date and the time we're going to do that. So Nuggets Only 2 opens July 27th, Saturday at 7 p.m. at Toy du Jour. We're at 2532 West Fullerton Avenue in Chicago in the Logan Square neighborhood. There's more info on our Instagram and Facebook at Toy du Jour. The thing that I want to kind of tack onto it, and I don't really have the date set for it, but so the gallery goes live and that's not going to change. Stuff goes up on the website that doesn't get sold at the gallery. Last time we did an Instagram claim sale, this time we're going to throw anything unsold up onto our website. But on top of that, there has been so many people that have come to me and come to Dan and been like, you know, can I get on the show? And we had to say, no, you know, the roster's full. Sorry. We're going to, you know, go with what we got right now. But I was trying to think of a way to include everyone because I don't want to discourage anybody from making any sort of art. So if you still want to put some sort of nugget thing together, absolutely please do. And we will pick a date for you to share it out like an online show, and we will put it on our stories. Like, I'm going to put as many of them on our stories as I find and people tag me in. No problem. Look for Toy du Jour or sharing those out. But we'll also announce when we're going to do that, because between the opening of the gallery and the stuff going on the website, I don't want to get it confused with any of that. So it's going to be a whole separate thing, but I want people to enjoy making art. You know, like, why the hell not? Just because you couldn't participate in this one because the roster is full, you know, like, let's do it, you know. Let's do more Nugget art. I mean, nice. It doesn't have Nugget art, but yes, Nugget art for this, you know?
Dano, you got things?
Yeah, just adding to that, I have that Nuggets Only gallery page from the first show. And I was kind of thinking, you know, not everything in there needs to be from the show. Like, I was thinking a lot of people have been sending me their Nugget art that they were hoping would get in the show or maybe for the next show. So I could share that there too. Not that it has a huge following or anything, but it does. People do actually interact with that page quite a bit. So that'd be something to somewhere to put it also. So that's a good idea, Sam. And then for me, I mean, you could follow me at Dano Brown on Instagram. I'm on the other platforms too, but I'm mostly just active on Instagram. And then danobrown.com if you want to buy junk. And I want to plug Toy du Jour. I mean, obviously, this is about the show on the 27th, but it's a shop that's around 24/7. You know, it's there all the time, not just for art shows. And I live in a place in a desert, a literal desert, where a shop like Toy du Jour would never survive. It just wouldn't be possible. So it's super impressive to me. But I also know that those places only survive by people going in and buying all that junk. It's not just the art shows. So definitely want to plug them. And then I want to plug all the artists on the roster, but I'm not going to list them all off right now. So I'll do that on my own time. But please check out the flyer, and all those artists were handpicked for being special, unique individuals and creative people. So I want to plug those people too, the best I can.
So thank you both for coming on Toys on Tap and sharing about the upcoming show.
Thank you for having me.